Dear ones, the previous chapter that we haven't read, but it introduces and the Apostle Paul speaks about the superiority of Christ, his greatness, and who he is. And so, as the second chapter is beginning, he says, because of these things that he has written in chapter 1, in recognition of Jesus Christ and who he is, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away. And he speaks here about the angels who, it says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And if we look at the law when it was delivered, the angels that were present there, and as it came by angels, it's telling us here, this word now here came by Jesus Christ. And he is writing to believers here. He is writing, of course, all words that are spoken are applicable and teach the unbeliever and the one who hasn't made right with his Lord. But he's speaking here to the believers that how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Not a great salvation, but so great a salvation. Just like God didn't just love the world, but God so loved the world. It's the only possible way to try to describe in simple words this salvation that is being offered unto us. And so this word came to us by Jesus Christ. And if we remember Jesus in his priestly prayer, when he prayed for his disciples, he said, I have given them thy word. So he has left us, dear ones, with his word. And if this word, which was delivered by Jesus Christ, is neglected, or if we allow his words, the disobedience to the law, it says every one of those disobedience was met with a just reward. It says, how do you think now that you're going to escape? And so really the theme here is about letting something slip away or letting something drift away, slip away. And what's interesting is that the Apostle Paul, in the close of his life, he talks about a fight that he fought. He said, I have fought a good fight. And here he's talking about something drifting away. And so it's still taking an effort from, in this manner that is being brought out, that it takes an effort. It took an effort from Paul. He had to fight. Now we know that the battle is the Lord's, but yet there is something that Paul had to do also, and that was to fight. And it was a good fight that he fought. So how did Paul fight a fight when the Lord, when the battle is the Lord's? How is all of our victory and all of our strength? God is the power, right? For each one of us. He is the one who grants the ability. So if we're being urged here not to let our ship of faith drift, that means we have to have an active part in our salvation. Paul fought. Paul ran a race. There's a race and he's running it. There's a fight and he's fighting it. A battle. Here there's drifting that's taking place. So we're being urged to row against the currents that are seeking to take our ship of faith away. And we know that if you put yourself out on a boat, you go fishing or whatever you want to do, relax in the boat, the current's going to just eventually take it away. And ultimately, it takes it to its destruction. So he's speaking to believers here about giving in earnest. He says, give them more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. Now, when we think about drifting, that's not an active disobedience. Like, it's not a rejection, like, we don't want to hear this, or it's being lulled to sleep. It's being slowly letting your guard down. Slowly as you're rowing your boat, you're letting it slip away. The effort that you're putting forward isn't there. So how is it that we are going to be able to row against the currents so that we don't let our faith slip away? We have to, first of all, give an earnest heed to the things that we heard. So we have to know what the Lord has spoken. I have given them thy word. The Lord Jesus said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So our faith can only stand if we take heed to the things that he has said. He speaks of a great salvation, a so great of a salvation, and the word salvation, I think every one of us love to hear. I'm saved. Saved. Salvation is being saved from something. Well, what is this salvation from? And we know it's from hell. So being saved from hell. But it's far, far more than that. Because the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. So salvation is something that comes about. Its origins are in the love of God. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Every other religion is going to put us on a quest, on a journey to go find our salvation, find our God, and so on. God actually came to you and to me to bring salvation. And that salvation is, if it was just from hell, it isn't sufficient. It's not sufficient. He saves us from hell, but he saves us from the power of sin. Salvation is the love of God. Salvation is the wisdom of God. And salvation is the power of God. He gives us all of that. But you and I have to have an active part in that. We have to seek his wisdom. We have to accept his love. And we have to put the effort so that the power of God is behind us as we fight the fight, as we row this ship of faith, as we run this race. God is behind all of us. It is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel. So we have to take heed unto the gospel in order to have the power behind us, or we will slowly let it all slip away. And when is that going to be recognized? When our ship of faith. So the Bible also talks about the anchor of our souls. Who is that? It's Christ himself. So as we, dear ones, do not allow our faith to slip away and drift away, it has to be anchored upon none other than the one who is brought forth in all of his superiority and his greatness and his beauty. And that's who we have to put. Drop the anchor on him. He is the anchor for our soul. He is the power. He is everything for us. But you see, dear ones, it is so easy for us to just slowly let these things drift away. And we have to ask ourselves in our daily life, how active are we in the fight, in the race, and in our ship of faith? What is our activity? What is our involvement in keeping? Because the only thing we need to do is take an earnest heed to the things that Jesus has spoken. I have given them thy word. That's what Jesus gave us. When is his word not enough for us? When is it that we no longer find the word of God that Jesus came to give us, because it is the power of God unto salvation? When is it not enough for us? When do we have to replace that which he gave to give? It cost him his life to give to us his word, which brings to you and me so great a salvation that not only will save us from hell, but not only forgives us our sin, but he no longer remembers our sin. He wipes it away. He no longer remembers it. And that's something that is hard to even understand, that God, who knows the hairs of our head and knows our every thoughts, it tells us he will not remember our sin. And then he gives us, but that's all in the negative. That's all in the negative of our salvation. But the positive of it is that he gives unto us a new birth, a new life, a new beginning. Everything is made new. Everything is made new. That's positive, right? Because the sin no longer haunts us, because we've been made clean by the precious blood of Christ. And we now have a new beginning and a new birth, a new life. And so we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Which things are those? The things that he has came to leave for us, his word. And it says here that, and if we think that we're going to escape because of God's mercy, if we think that we can continue in sin so that his grace and his mercy can continue and abound, so what, that we would actually brag about how that I can sin because God is such a God of love that he's going to forgive me? So you're going to brag to someone who's you and I are supposed to bring to God through our obedience and through our love for him and through our taking the more earnest heed to the word that he left us, and living it and fighting the fight and running the race and rowing the boat, doing those things because of the word that he gave us. And we're going to say that we can continue in sin to the unbeliever, and God's going to forgive us. How are we going to be brought to, how are we going to bring anyone to a salvation? He says, so if the Israelites didn't escape, and we know none of them escaped, none of them escaped. And the man who sins today, he thinks he's going to escape. When the word didn't come from the angels, it came from Christ himself. He said it was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All those great things that God had given the ability to the apostles to do, to testify the truths. So all those things, he says, were given for us to believe. And then if we don't, and if we do believe, but we let it slip. And so again, going back to where have we allowed, can we say that we can examine our own life in the light of his word? Not in light of someone's opinion, not in light of some evangelist, no matter who it is, some preacher, someone who's going to expound on his word and give us their opinions. But take an earnest heed to the things that were spoken first by the Lord. And if we look at those things and look at our life in the light of his word, we're going to find that we've been drifting. And so now what are we going to do with that drifting? We're going to continue to let it drift because there's a shipwreck that is imminent. It's imminent. There's going to be a shipwreck of our faith. And there's going to be a destruction. And it's the proper recompense of reward to our disobedience. Because the disobedience, and here's the disobedience, we're going to be lulled into doing this. We just let up a little bit. Don't run quite. We're going to let some weight hold us down. It might only be 5 pounds, but it's enough weight to slow us down. And the race won't be won. We're going to be fighting, but we're going to let our guard down just a little bit. And the enemy who we're fighting with is going to take that little gap where the shield of faith is to defend us from every fiery dart. If we let that shield down just a little bit, the strength is God in the battle. In the rowing, in the running. He is the strength behind us all. But we have to fight. And he will be the victor. And so we can meet this with a continued drifting. And we can put it off for tomorrow. But in verse 1 of chapter 3, says, wherefore, and again, this is why we know he's speaking to you and me, brothers and sisters. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So he's speaking to you and me. And he said, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And so if we are going to consider the faithfulness of Moses and Christ, where are we going to be able to say that I can continue to let my ship drift and it won't crash? In Philippians 4, I know I referenced to one of the verses here, I think in the previous sermon we had here, about being careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, so, and then later on, the verse that was referenced to earlier was, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely and true and honest of good report, says, think on these things. So who gave those things that are lovely and true? And that's what God left us. That's what he came. That's his word. And so we have to take an earnest heed to these things. So think on these things. But earlier it says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, and again I say, rejoice, and let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is in hand. And be careful for nothing. So don't be anxious about anything, he tells us here. Now, which one of us can say we're not anxious about anything? We have worries, we have anxiety, and we have anxiety attacks, but that's on us. Because if we are taking an earnest heed, now I'm in this just like you all are. We're all in this together. We have these moments, and this is why they come upon us. Because here's what Paul says. Don't be anxious about anything. He says, and so how? How can I not be anxious about something that I have to be anxious about? Well, he says, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, and here's the part that I know I lack. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So take your anxieties and be thankful for them and bring them to the Lord. And you know, we have to go back to the example of the apostles that they gave us. You tell me they didn't have any anxiety when they're getting beaten, but they took that anxiety and with thankfulness, they brought it to the Lord and they thanked him that he counted them worthy to suffer for his name, a name that you and I take very easily in our lips as we drift and drift. Or as we let the shield down. That's our role in the battle. Hold the shield of faith. That's our role in the fight. And we let it slip. And the fiery darts that are coming to us in a very subtle manner, when they strike, they don't strike so subtly. When a man recognizes he's in deep in sin, you know, Christ says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul, his eternal soul? We've been given that in our creation, a soul that will go on and on and on and on. So why are we allowing, why would we allow the beggarly elements of this life, even the things that cause us anxiety? They can be very real things. But with thankfulness, let your supplications be made known unto God. That's not easy to do if we're drifting. But if we're firmly anchored in Christ and we know his superiority to all things, and we know his love, he so loved me, that my salvation is all coming from his love and his wisdom and his power. Everything is in him. Wouldn't it cause me then to come back to him in full confession and repentance and come to the Lord and with thankfulness that he has come to me in a way which revealed myself to me. Because he allows us to go through trials and tribulations for the trials of our own faith, not so that he can see who you and I are, but so that we can see who we are. He reveals us to ourselves. Now, if that doesn't take me back to him, it's going to take me straight to hell. And so the question is for all of us today, are we allowing our faith to drift on the angry waves of doubt? Because that's the only thing that will let us drift, is doubt. We know that Eve doubted. She doubted. That's all it took. And she saw that it was beautiful. It was something pleasing to her. It looked good to her eyes. It had to taste good. Everything that the devil will give us, it looks good. It's going to feel good for a moment. And we've heard everyone, and we've heard ourselves admit there's nothing lasting in that. It's fleeting at best. And the realization of that fantasy, of that quest, the reality of it, doesn't live up to what we thought it would. And so we have to go for more and more, and that's sin. There's never a contentment in sin. There's never enough. It's never enough. But there is in Christ. And so why don't we seek him? Why don't we? The only thing is, and we heard it in the prayer, we're too connected to ourselves. We have to separate ourselves. And that's the cross. And that's where the new birth is given. That's where the positive of salvation takes place. And we live as a new creature, full of joy, of hope, to serve him all the days of our lives. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.